Hey everyone, welcome to the Woofing Porson podcast, and welcome to episode number 33, which is going to be all about partnership. However, before we dive in, I wanted to let you know about a brilliant podcast called the Dog Training Dictionary. Now, if you've heard earlier episodes, you would have heard how this amazing podcast that is co-hosted by myself and the wonderful Carrie Ann Selwyn came about, as we basically formulated it during a crossover episode between the Woofing Porson podcast and Carrie's Canine Hoop as Well podcast. But the reason I'm sharing this with you is we've just done a two-part special all about Christmas, especially Christmas with our dogs. So if that's something that you'd be interested in, all about kind of do's and don'ts, things to think about, great presents to buy, then search for the Dog Training Dictionary wherever you're listening to your podcast and go and give it a listen. But for now, episode 33, partnership with me, let's crack on. So folks, partnership. Again, a little bit of context of where this came from. So this morning, my wonderful social media did that thing where it tells you about memories and kind of shows you a lot of pictures from times gone by. And one of those pictures was of my old dog, who sadly is no longer with us, called Lando. Now, Lando was a Ridgeback Great Dane cross, and he came into my life when I was about 18, 19, so I'd not long left home, realised that I missed having dogs around. I grew up with boxers, really wanted a dog, went to a local, in the UK we have the RSPCA, went to a local rescue shelter, found Lando. Now, interestingly, it was one of these scenarios where there was some kind of weird fate or movement in the universe that I think meant that me and him were meant to kind of get together. So I'll kind of, without boring you, I'll tell you a little bit of the story. So I went to the centre. They were a brilliant centre. Sadly, I don't believe they do dogs anymore. But when I went, they were chatting to me, you know, kind of what was I looking for? What type of dog? All the brilliant questions that you should be asked, either by a breeder or a rescue, around, you know, your lifestyle, your home, you know, the type of temperament, etc., that you should be looking for, your experience, if any. And they told me about this various different dogs that they had. But they, as they do, they kind of took me to where all the kennels were and let me have a look around. And as I was looking, I found Lando. He wasn't called Lando at the time. He was only 3 months old, and sadly he was reserved. Now, I absolutely fell in love with him the minute I saw him and inquired about him, and obviously that's when they advised that he was reserved, and he was due to go to a new home the next day, so he wasn't available. So I had a look around, and again, none of the dogs, I didn't feel like kind of matched me. So I put my name down as kind of on a waiting list in terms of, you know, what it was I was looking for. And obviously if they found any dogs or any dogs came into them where they thought we'd be a suitable match, they would give me a call. Now, I did badger the poor lady who was working there about Lando. It turned out he was a bit of a fan favourite at the shelter, and he was a stunning dog. He was actually marked as a Doberman Boxer cross. Now, growing up with boxers, kind of, you know, that kind of fit, it was a breed I had, you know, an element of familiarity with. Not to say that obviously he was going to be anything like a boxer, but again, it kind of, in my young naive brain, that seemed to work. Long story short, I left, and about 4 days later they give me a call to say Lando was back. The people who were basically reserved him, who were due to take him home, sadly the relationship had ended, and therefore there technically wasn't a home for him to go to. And he'd actually came from a family home which had also sadly kind of broke apart not long after getting him when he was a pup. So, you know, kind of not too much of a bad omen for kind of relationship stability with this dog. But they asked if I was still interested, so of course I said yes. Drove straight back down there, went to see him, spent some time with him, took him for walks, run around the paddocks, sat in his kennel with him and all these kind of things. And he was just a beautiful dog. And again, this might be a little bit of rose-tinted memory glasses here, but it just felt like we had a connection straight away. It felt like he was kind of meant to be with me, I was meant to be with him. And given the circumstances of how we'd kind of came back into kind of availability, that was it. Before I knew it, I was signing the paperwork, they were coming to do the home checks, he was reserved to me, and I was kind of counting the minutes until hopefully everything went through, and he got to come and live with me. So he did. I had the home check. That was fantastic, all kind of signed off with flying colours, which was lovely, and usual kind of vet checks and everything before he was released, and I got to go and pick him up. And I'll never forget the, again, for anyone listening, this isn't the way I advise you to transport your dogs, but again, this was several decades ago now, and a little bit young and naive, I picked him up, he jumped in the front seat, and he basically sat in the front seat and laid across the centre console of the car with his head laid on my arm, which I was using to change gear, and he just stayed in that position all the way back home. And again, it was one of those kind of sweet little movie moments, which again, from a safety perspective, I wouldn't recommend anybody does. But we got home and that was it. That was me and him as a bit of a tag team for forever. It turns out he wasn't a boxer Doberman cross. He hit about 6 months old and completely changed and just kept growing and growing and growing. And it turns out he was actually a Great Dane Rhodesian Ridgeback cross. So he was... physicality wise was a very different dog to what I was expecting. I think in his prime he was pushing kind of 80 kilos at one point, you know, he was a big dog. And he was my best friend. We went through a lot together. Obviously I was young when I got him, so that meant lots of changes in my life, from where I lived to relationships to jobs, all these kind of things, you know, were ever changing through the 11 or so years that he was with me, and he kind of went through those formative years, and that's my formative years as well as his own, obviously. And he was my first dog where I had, you know, I was fully, solely accountable for him. He was my responsibility. It was my job to train him, my job to give him the best life possible. And because of the way that my life went at that particular time, the one thing, even looking back, I didn't quite realise was as good as it was our partnership. It was our bond. It was what kind of kept us together. Now, I absolutely spent time training, probably not as consciously as I would now. Again, younger, wasn't a qualified professional at this point, just an avid dog enthusiast, and did all the things I thought were right to keep him happy, keep him healthy, and for us to, you know, work together and be a good team. And again, benefit of hindsight was that was the thing that made us a fantastic success. It was this bond, it was this partnership that we had together that allowed probably a lot of things that would have caught us out, you know, kind of through that life together in terms of training, you know, bad habits, whatever it might have been, never really manifested itself with. And I'm absolutely convinced it was because of that relationship that we had. So fast forward, when Betty Boo came to join me and join us in our family, and again, she hadn't had necessarily a bad life by any stretch of the imagination, but there was certain aspects of her life that she hadn't quite learned how to do, like kind of be social, how to deal with other dogs in public and things like that. And because of the circumstance of how she came to us as well, it was quite quick, so she kind of left her original home and then came with us. And that happened within literally a 24-hour period. So she had this big upheaval in her life, came to this strange home with strange people, strange dogs. And I, again, you know, kind of a professional dog trainer, all these amazing ideas of what we can do with her, how we can train her, how we can help her, how we can, you know, be the best kind of pooch parents possible. And she didn't really want to do any of it. She wasn't really interested. And the reason being was she just wasn't connected. She wasn't bonded with us. Yes, she, you know, she would do a few things for bits of food and for some toys and things like that. She would kind of go through the motions, but the longevity, the fluency of what we learnt together, none of that was really sticking. And again, the benefit of hindsight, the benefit of further professional development is allowed me to realise it was all ultimately rooted in our partnership. I basically went kind of too hard, too quick in terms of my expectations, my training, the things that we wanted to do with her, We even had a professional trainer come and join us, and behaviorist help us with obviously making sure we were on the right track. And we did all of this very early in her life of joining us. And when I say early, this was probably within the first 6 months. Now, I see this a lot, honestly, guys, and I was 100% guilty of this. You take a dog on, whether that's a puppy, whether that's a rescue, and you have absolutely the best intentions. You know, rewind a little bit to me and Lando, like, I fell in love with him instantly. Like, it was just, that was it. You know, me and him were meant to be together. And that's very much how I saw it. I have no idea if he felt the same way originally. And Betty was quite similar. You know, she was a beautiful dog. We were so, so happy to have her in our house. Really wanted to do the best by her. We had all these great ambitions of helping her, you know, kind of get over some of the, you know, the behaviors that weren't beneficial to, you know, human life where we lived. And I kind of went all guns blazing, you know, bought the best stuff, invested the best in training, kind of just did as much as I felt I could possibly do with her, and didn't really feel like I was getting anywhere. I didn't really kind of see the return. And again, that was all because of the bond and the partnership and the teamwork that we had, which was basically nothing. We didn't actually really know each other. She didn't know me. She didn't trust me in the same way that she does now. I didn't understand her personality, her traits, how she behaves, what she likes, what she dislikes. And as a result, that early phase of training was really stressful, really hard work, you know, emotionally draining, constant doubt about whether we'd done the right thing. And that it was so just really, really difficult. So we kind of, I wouldn't say gave up, but it kind of felt like that at times. There was definitely periods where I had real strong pangs of guilt of, we weren't really doing anything for her. You know, we were, felt like we were avoiding the problem. We were walking in the early hours and late at night, you know, in the effort to not let her see any of her triggers and all these kind of things. And it felt a little bit disheartening and a little bit, like I say, a bit, almost like we'd failed her. And inadvertently, what it actually done is me giving her what she needed inadvertently by almost avoiding the problem, is it allowed us to build some trust. It built our relationship. She bonded with us more in the house. She started to have some trust and faith that we would do right by her. You know, we weren't going to force her into these situations that she wasn't a fan of. And she started to relax more. More of her personality came out. And that's when training for us really started to turn and really started to change. Because now we had this, and it's honestly, it's so hard to describe, but we had this connection, we had this partnership where we understood each other a little bit more, and we definitely trusted each other a little bit more. She knew she could predict what I was going to do, what I wanted, and vice versa. So that allowed us to work better as a team. And ever since that point, our training, our development, the things we've done together have come on absolutely leaps and bounds, which I'm super proud of. And it's, again, with that lovely benefit of hindsight, that I realise that it's all rooted in that partnership. Now, going back a little bit to what I mentioned about new puppies or kind of new rescues in your house, and our ambitions and our mindset versus the dog's needs, and we've spoke about dog's needs on previous podcasts, this is where I think a lot of us kind of get a bit stuck, and we want to rush results. And it's not rushed results because of impatience. It's very much done with that desire to, you know, to get it right and to do the right thing and to have this almost Disney-like kind of relationship with our dogs. However, a lot of the stuff we genuinely want ultimately comes from that love, connection, bond and partnership that we have. And if we don't have that in the first place, it does make everything else a little bit more difficult. Now, that can completely throw a spanner in the works. So again, I'm going to pick on little Betty Boo, but obviously we want to go for walks together. We want to have days out. We want to go places. Kind of, I had this very, you know, utopian view in my head of what life was going to be like with this new German Shepherd who joined our family. And actually, that wasn't what happened. It was the complete opposite. In fact, we had to, you know, avoid situations. We had to do a lot of things that basically went in the exact opposite direction of what we were hoping for. And that makes life incredibly difficult and really frustrating and really emotional, as I mentioned before. So if you're finding you're struggling with any aspect of training or relationship with your dog at the moment, just kind of stop and have a think. It's not a bad thing. People, whenever I talk about partnership and bond, I'm very aware it can be naturally an emotive topic, and it can be almost offensive, if I'm honest. If that bond or that partnership, that relationship isn't the best it could possibly be, and as a trainer I can observe that and I can see that, it's a very difficult topic to discuss, because people will immediately associate that with love. You know, that by not having a great partnership or great teamwork, that therefore your love is somehow diluted or dismissed. And that is absolutely not the case. But it makes it very hard as a professional to talk to someone about how do you work on that partnership? How do you work on that teamwork when kind of how you as the human perceive that relationship versus what the behavior of the dog is potentially doing? And this is where it gets very hard. And I absolutely know in the past I've been guilty of this, and I know other professionals will as well, as we ultimately sometimes don't even mention it. We don't even talk about it to some clients because we're very aware of how almost judgmental it can feel to say to someone that the partnership or the bond needs to build, it needs to grow more, it needs more things, when that person has invested every minute of the day and all the money and love and all these things that they believe has been in the vein of creating that bond, to be told it might not be as strong as you think it is just heartbreaking. Nobody wants to deliver that message. Of course we don't, because it's hurtful. It will absolutely hurt. But it's the key part of any mechanics that we do. Now, there's ways around this, absolutely, guys. I'm not just saying you either have it or you don't. That's not what this is about. But when it comes to training, learning kind of things together with your dog, those small, subtle steps and consistency, we bang on about consistency a lot in dog training, and that is absolutely key, is what makes it grow. So it's very tempting to look at, I'm going to pick a scenario. So you've got a dog, and a line I will hear as a trainer is, do you know what, they're absolutely brilliant. In the house, they are the perfect dog. But the minute we step outside, I just have this demon on the end of the lead. It pulls and it lunges and it barks and it doesn't listen. And it does all of this kind of crazy stuff that makes life and walking very, very difficult. But in the house, they're perfect. They have this amazing time, and they do everything that, I would love them to do and more. And therefore, we start to very much get focused on that behavior outside. And interestingly, when you're looking at this sort of stuff, kind of as a lot of trainers have that benefit of kind of being on the outside looking in, that's where for me from a mindset perspective, firstly, let's focus on that 80% of amazing stuff that you have in the house, because that's kind of the key. So what is it that happens in that environment? What is it that you do? What is it that the dog has? How the dog feels that allows you to have all that great success indoors? Because within that is where that partnership and that teamwork is obviously at its strongest. And therefore, that is really what we want to start to tap into to progress it into the part of life where you're not having as good results. So in that example, it's when we're outside. And this is where, again, it kind of gets very difficult, because it would be very easy to say, oh, well, your teamwork in the house is amazing, your teamwork outdoors, your partnership outdoors is just non-existent. That's not technically the case. As we spoke about in the last episode and we spoke about previously on the podcast, emotional states, your dog's needs, all of these things are all variables and factors that we have to take into consideration. But to work together, you've got to have that partnership and that bond and that trust and that relationship to get the best results. So whenever you're kind of faced with any of these problems, and if you're looking at a situation either with your own dog or helping friends and family out, or if you're a professional and you're working with clients, looking at that partnership is really, really key. And it can be hard, again, if I kind of put my client hat on, to be there and to be having a discussion with a professional that seems very disjointed or a million miles away from the problem at hand. So if I'm talking to a client and they have that dog that is, you know, struggling outdoors, and I start talking about what to do indoors and how we can use all that stuff and how we can build on that relationship, and it feels the two bits don't always seem connected. It's like, I've brought you in as a professional to help me with this problem with my dog outside, and you're banging on about what we do indoors. Well, indoors isn't a problem for me. I don't want to spend my time looking at indoors. It's the outdoor stuff that I need the help and support with. So it can be very difficult to kind of bridge that gap and to try and tap into that, to understand when you're working with a professional, if they are talking to you about these kind of things. This is kind of why what we're looking to do is understand what is already there, what is existing, where is that partnership at its strongest, and how can we then use that to help you into those areas of your training or your life with dog where it is troublesome or you're struggling or whatever it might be. Now, you can probably tell I am going to script as always, guys, so I'm kind of waffling a little bit here. So let me try and bring it back on point. But that relationship is king. So if you know there are situations, places, environments where your dog struggles, what I would be actively encouraging anybody to do is start to look at that partnership level in the context of those environments or those situations. So what can we do to help our dogs out and to almost reaffirm that trust and that partnership still exists? Because if your dog knows it exists in the house and is brilliant with it but struggles outdoors, then we've got to help them. We've got to educate them that that partnership and that trust is absolutely still there. So there's going to be a bit of give and take. There's going to be a bit of quid pro quo with this as we go through it. So when you're working with a professional, what they might ask you to do, and I talk to clients a lot about this, is just do some stuff kind of outside your front or back door. So that kind of routine where you head outside, where is the first place that you go? Because you will probably be able to tell that that's the minute your dog is going to start to struggle. So picking on good old Betty Boo, bless her. When we go out, all of her kind of harness and everything is kept in our garage. So we go out the back door of the house, into the garage. She gets dressed as such to go on a walk. And we go out the garage, down the path next to the house to the side gate. And before we even leave that side gate, I'm trying to see, is she with me? Is she in the zone? Is her emotional state managed? And have we got that connection? Have we got that teamwork already there before we start to give her that exposure to the world where I know she's going to encounter some challenges? So that might be, we might play a game, we might just do some check-ins. We'll do whatever I think is suitable and whatever's in her kind of skill set to do at that time. And if we pass that kind of little test, then what we do, we go out the side gate and into the front garden. And we have kind of railings at the front of our house, so she can instantly see the outside worlds. There's no fences or anything, there's nothing blocking her view. So she goes from that very controlled, safe garden environment where our partnership and our responsive rate, her emotional state might be well managed, and we go straight into the deep end. So that's incredibly difficult for her. Now, I could circumvent this by going out the back gate into the estate where it's a bit quieter, there's less dogs, there's less people, there's less traffic, and we could do lots of work out in that environment first. And absolutely, that's what I would do if this was kind of, you know, really early stages of working together. So I can change the environment and I can change the expectation on my dog of what it is that we're going to do. So if I need to build on partnership, kind of build on that kind of bond and that relationship between me and my dog, the first thing I need to do is build on it where I'm having those issues. So if I know it's great in the house and not so great outdoors, then I need to help my dog learn that we've got this together. You know, we've got that partnership in that environment where you really struggle. So again, contextually or from a kind of a goals perspective, this is where it gets difficult, because I just want to take my dog for a walk. You know, I just want to leave the house. We're going to go for a walk. The dog's going to stretch her legs, get some sniffs in, go to the toilet, do the stuff that they're going to do. And then I come along as a professional and say, do you know what? Just sit in your front garden. What does your dog like to do? They like to cuddle, or they like to play with toys or problem solving games or whatever it might be. And I say, fantastic. Do that on your front grass or your back, kind of outside your back gate or whatever it might be. And that feels very counterintuitive. It feels very difficult. But this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to help your dog learn that all of that amazing stuff they can do in the house, they can also start to do outside. So that partnership can grow outside as well as inside. That we can give them fun stuff to do. So that helps promote that bond. It helps manage that emotional state, as we talked about in the last episode. And it allows us to then start to shift the perception and the mindset of our dogs in that different environmental context of being outdoors. And these very small little steps, and again, consistency, repetition as always with training, guys, but this is how we start to help our dogs realize there's other ways to interact and that our bond and our connection is there in all environments. And this is where, kind of for us as humans, it gets really difficult. We are very good at just doing stuff in all contexts, in all environments, where dogs don't quite work like that. And that partnership needs to be there, because if it's not, your training and whatever it is that you're trying to work on, whether that's just enhancing existing skills, whether that's overcoming some difficult problems, whatever it might be, I absolutely need to know that I've got my dog's back and my dog knows that I've got their back, and vice versa. Because let's be honest, guys, if you've ever watched any kind of movie that's got a dog in it, you know, there's one about to come out, funnily enough, with Channing Tatum. It's about a military dog. And I've watched the trailer, and you can instantly tell the entire storyline about this film that's coming out is about the relationship. You know, it's very much about a guy who has this military dog who, it's not his dog, it's somebody else's, and he's got a job to do with this dog, and the dog doesn't want to do it. And that entire trailer is built around how this person overcomes all the problems and challenges and the, you know, the friction between him and the dog. And I'm fairly sure it will end up being a very happy ending, because I realize it is all about teamwork. It's about partnership. It's about trust and respect and love between the dog and the human. And once you have that, all the other stuff comes easy. Now, if they're making Hollywood movies about this, guys, it's not just because it plucks the heartstrings and sends money. It's because ultimately all the best films are based in truth, you know, reality. And that is a huge, huge part of it. Whenever you watch anything that kind of plucks your heart and tell you with dogs, it is very much about the connection between person and dog. And yes, their dog might do some amazing skills and tricks and walk perfectly and recall perfectly, do all these wonderful training skills. But the best stuff I ever see from any client or my own dogs or anything else comes from that relationship. It was really interesting. I was, a few months ago, I was training with a wonderful organization in scent work. I'll give them a big shout out. It's the UK College of Scent Dogs. And I took Betty Boo, so I started the training with Hugo, but sadly he became a little bit unwell, so I've not been able to continue that journey with him. So I switched in the second course to use Betty Boo. So she hadn't done as much as the kind of groundwork as Hugo had, and she was in a strange environment. It was her first time working as such. So what I mean by working is, as a professional, when you go on courses, you do a lot of short, sharp stints with your dog, which basically means they go in the van, out the van for 10, 15 minutes, back in the van, come back out later, do another 10, 15 minutes, back in the van, out the van, etc. Now, that experience over the course of a week is hard going for even, you know, kind of dogs that have done it for most of their life. Where Betty hasn't, this was her first time ever doing it. And as always, we were training through positive reinforcement, so we were looking to get Betty to do some scent-based skills and then reward her when she did them. And she struggled, I won't lie, she wasn't having the greatest time. And funnily enough, the comments I got from the people running the course, the guys behind UK College of Scent Dogs, who were just wonderful people, they made a comment and an observation that the most reinforcing thing for Betty was me. Now, when you're doing scent work, your dog tends to work away from you. And therefore, if her best reward was me and my presence and my reassurance and affection, I obviously wasn't there where the scent was. So this was really, really challenging for her. And actually, my partnership probably worked against me a little bit here. But the guys who ran the course were brilliant. We found a way to overcome it, which was fantastic. But to get that comment, even though at the time it was actually working against me, that was such a personal kind of, you know, joyous moment that somebody who's educated in the world of dogs, watched me and my dog work and made a comment that basically the best thing in life for my dog was me, and that her connection and her bond with me was so strong it was actually working against my training. And at that point, I honestly didn't care about how good, bad, successful, unsuccessful she was at the training, because that for me was the best kind of invisible hug I got about the work that I've done with Betty Boo so far, is that that was the greatest thing in her world. She trusted me. She had that relationship and bond with me. And it took, honestly, guys, two and a half years to get to a level where a fellow professional would make that observation. That's a long time. You know, that took a lot of hard work to get to that point. But it definitely kind of warms my soul knowing that it's visible and people can see it. So I've completely gone off piste to you guys, so bear with me. But that's kind of the thing for me, guys. If you really, really want to evolve your training, to take it to the next level, and to reflect back, like I did when I saw that picture of Landon, to reflect back and look back at life with, you know, a dog. Sadly, they're not around as long as we would like them. So for a lot of us, we will have these times where you look back to, you know, that dog. And we do it through rose-tinted glasses, of course we do. We always remember the good stuff. We remember the nice times. We remember the happy stuff. But that partnership, that love for each other, is absolutely what you will always reflect on. It's the thing that you will always kind of, that warm feeling inside when you look back and have those memories is what you will recall. And that's it. That's kind of the essence of that partnership, guys. So whenever you're looking at a situation, when you're having that trouble, whenever there's things with your dog that you either want to enhance or overcome, look at that partnership. Everybody who I've ever met has ultimately got a dog in their life and their family because they want to give that dog the best life possible. And honestly, guys, the best life possible doesn't mean walking perfectly on a lead. Doesn't mean recalling instantly whenever you say it. Yes, we would love our dogs to do that. Of course we would. But actually, the thing I really want is that relationship. I want that partnership. I want that love, connection and bond and that mutual respect between, you know, us as a human and that animal, that canine. That's massive, guys. And it still blows my mind. I'm going to go off piste even more, you guys. But that blows my mind. You see kind of daft, jokey stuff on the internet about this, you know, about the fact that we share our house with a completely different species. Yeah, they're dogs. They're not humans. You know, they're a completely different animal. And the only way we can do that successfully is by that kind of symbiotic respect and love and affection for each other, where we both know that despite not having the same brains, not using the same language, that there is that, you know, that kind of partnership and that connection there. That's how we get success. So if there's anything to invest your time and effort in, guys, when you're looking at your training, when you're looking at that success, that's where it is. If you're going to invest 80% of your training time and effort, people will get the best results if they spend that 80% working on the partnership, working on the bond, working on the trust, because then the other 20% just gets easier. If you're spending 80% of your time working on your loose lead or your recall or those skills in life that might be making life a little bit more complicated and challenging for you and potentially feeling like you're banging your head against a brick wall, then stop. Have a look and reverse your training. Spend that time working on that relationship, on that partnership, on that trust. Work with a professional. They will give you that guidance on how and where and all that good stuff. But look at that partnership. And honestly, if you can, try and be quite objective. I'm very fortunate that I can be quite clinical and quite objective, even with myself. But I appreciate that is, you know, that's a trait or a skill that I have. And therefore, sometimes you do need to ask other people. You do need to get somebody in. And it can be a difficult conversation. As I mentioned before, talking about the thing that is ultimately we measure in love can be very difficult to talk about. You know, you've got to be brave, let's be honest, guys. If I'm going to turn around to somebody and say, you know, kind of, do you think, you know, I wouldn't probably use the word, do you think my dog loves me? Do you think my dog's happy? All those, because again, it starts plucking on an emotional heartstring. But do you think we have a good connection? Do you think we understand each other? Do we think that we've got that partnership? And if there's trusted people in your life or there's professionals who you're happy to work with, that for me is some of the greatest questions you can ask. But be prepared for the answers as well. You know, they may not be as complimentary as you might like. But honestly, guys, that is the way forward. Because if you can work on that and look at that and go, right, you know, I absolutely know, you know, I see every single one of my clients, their dogs absolutely love them and they love their dogs. Love is not called into question here, but working together in partnership is different. It's a different aspect of a relationship, exactly the same way it is with humans. You know, if you look at relationship dynamics or family dynamics or best friend dynamics, anywhere where you've got that aspect of, do you love the person, but can you work well together? That's kind of the ultimate question with our dogs. So try and, as best you can, park the love side of it and look at that working together. Look at that partnership. Look at those bits where you go, are we a good team? Do we understand each other? Do we complement and blend with each other well? And if we don't, where do I think that we don't? Where's the bits that I might be able to improve? Because if you work and put that time and effort into those places, guys, again, as I mentioned before, that's where the real success will come. That's where you will start to see those bits change. Also, look at the bits that you might do too much of. You know, is there a part of these relationships and this partnership where we go, actually, I need to do something slightly different. I'm taking too much of this particular role in this dynamic, and I might need to tune that down a bit and do a bit more of something else. Hopefully this is all food for thought, guys, and hopefully you can see where I'm going for this. But absolutely look at that partnership, work on that partnership. That is ultimately the key to success, guys. If you do that, your training will just advance, your relationship with your dog will advance, and as well as all that amazing love and affection, you will get amazing teamwork and partnership together as well. And that is ultimately utopia, guys, and that's, I'm sure, what many of us strive for. Okay, folks, that's it for episode 33 in partnership. Thank you so much for joining me. I will see you again very soon for episode number 34. But until then, have a great time and speak soon. Bye-bye. Hey, everyone. Thanks again for listening to the Woofing Possum podcast. As always, if you do want to get in touch, you can find us on social media. I'm at Great Paws NE, which is Great Paws NE for Northeast. On both Facebook and Instagram. You can also contact me via my website, which is greatpaws.co.uk, and you can also consume some free online courses at greatpawsgang.co.uk. Excellent. Thank you very much, folks, and we will see you soon for our next episode.